From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons. Japanese officials are still trying to determine the scope of yesterday's 8.9 earthquake and tsunami. The scale of the disaster makes it difficult to determine the number of those dead, but at least one Japanese official says more than 1,000 have been killed. Residents of the region are trying to piece back their lives. NPR's Dwali Saikautau is in Fukushima and says the devastation colors everything.
Earlier in the day, people were outside just essentially looking around their homes and trying to assess the damage. And, it was actually a beautiful sunset earlier, except that just around the city, there was damage everywhere.
NPR's Dwali Saikautau reporting from Fukushima, where there are still concerns over a damaged nuclear plant. Japanese authorities are pumping seawater mixed with boron into the reactor. As NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, it's an unusual tactic that indicates the main cooling system is still not sufficient.
Nuclear engineering experts in the U.S. say using seawater to cool a reactor may never have been tried before. Japanese engineers have been struggling for 2 days to get the freshwater cooling system to keep the reactor core from melting. But an explosion in the containment building suggests that the freshwater system overheated and produced explosive hydrogen gas. Nuclear officials say they are mixing boron with the seawater. Boron also helps dampen the nuclear reaction that produces heat in a reactor. Seawater has the advantage of being plentiful at the coastal power plant, but once seawater is pumped into the system, the plant will no longer be usable. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Officials are now preparing to relieve pressure inside a building housing another reactor in the same complex. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's hold on the strategic port city of Ras Lanuf is now solidified. Libyan warplanes fired on rebel fighters, pushing them out of the area. The Arab League is asking the UN Security Council to impose a no-fly zone over Libya. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson is in Cairo, where the Arab League met today.
Officials say it was a hard decision, but a necessary one. Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa spoke to journalists at a news conference following the meeting.
Well, concerning the no-fly zone, it has one goal, to protect the civilian population.
The Arab League cannot impose the no-fly zone itself, but its approval is necessary before the international community can act. The League is calling for the no-fly zone to be a temporary measure. Its members are also demanding there be no other foreign intervention in Libya or other member countries where protesters are seeking government change. In a related move, the League decided to open talks with the rebel council based in the eastern Libyan city of Benghazi. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
14 people are dead following an early morning tour bus crash on Interstate 95 outside of New York City. This is NPR News. There's been a day of heavy fighting in Ivory Coast's commercial capital as security forces loyal to the disputed leader try to regain control of a volatile suburb. NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton reports the army has launched a ground and airborne attack to flush out fighters from a stronghold of his presidential rival.
Residents in Abidjan's Abobor neighborhood and nearby suburbs report deafening artillery fire. For weeks, Abobor has witnessed deadly fighting between security forces fighting for Laurent Gbagbo and those who support Alassane Ouattara, the internationally recognized president-elect of Ivory Coast. Controlled by pro-Ouattara forces, Abobor has been a no-go area for Gbagbo soldiers. The army has deployed armored cars and reinforcements to the front line. The UN says more than 200,000 people have fled the violence in Abobor. Ouattara is currently in Nigeria to try to persuade West African leaders to use military force to remove Gbagbo. Ofebi Akwistarkton, NPR News, Abidjan.
Dozens of farmers riding tractors are showing their support for union workers, parading through the streets of Madison, Wisconsin, shouting, "Recall Walker." Governor Walker signed into law yesterday a bill that cuts the collective bargaining rights of public workers. Pro-labor protesters now say they'll focus their efforts at recalling the Republican lawmakers who backed the bill. This is the night most of the nation will be setting their clocks ahead an hour. It is the return of daylight saving time and will be observed by most of the nation. The change means an extra hour of evening sunlight. I'm Nancy Lyons, NPR News in Washington.
Support for